First, I'd like to thank Maharaj for allowing us to come, inviting us to come and have darshan, have your association, and visit with our old dear friend Sangeeta. You're very powerful. We've been trying to get her back out here for many years. So thank you. Listening to the story of Narottam Das Thakur and hearing his songs makes me think of Prabhupada and how much Srila Prabhupada did for all of us, and he did it at least externally alone. Narottam Das Thakur had the association of Srinivas and Shamananda, and it hadn't been very long before that all the Goswamis and Sri Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda had been there, and they did so much, but they had each other too. And Prabhupada, he came and he established the first Gaur Purnim festival for us, and he came by himself. He came by himself, not knowing what would he find anything to eat here? Not knowing, you know, when he got off that ship, except his faith in Guru and Krishna. So, I'm so grateful that he did that. And so grateful for everything he's given us. All the association of the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. I feel like I'm in a desert until I come to the association of the devotees and get replenished. So, I'd like to thank you all for your association. Hare Krishna.
Today when we took our walk on the beach, we were a little bit laggy behind you, and Mother Sangeeta was commenting how much you remind her of Srila Prabhupada. That our God brothers and God sisters, they take on little bits of Prabhupada. They exhibit little bits of his personality, his desires, his enthusiasm. And it was just so nice to have that. It's like Nirkul said, it is like a desert, and as time goes on, it seems it gets worse. And the only sweetness is at times like this, that you can actually perceive a sweetness that's nowhere else. And Srila Prabhupada opened this world to us. He could have kept it to himself. He didn't have to leave Vrindavan. I just feel, as I get older, I'm so entangled in busyness, and it kind of doesn't mean anything, really, in the long run. I'm just hoping that there'll be a time when I can, before my energy runs out, be able to really learn Prabhupada's books better and read and associate with the devotees more and have more of this. This is really the only thing worth living for, I think. Thank you.
Actually, I was thinking about today how, and this is totally changes the subject matter, but the devotees are such a precious commodity, and their association is just, the value of that is so indescribable. But the danger is, it's so easy for myself to criticize the devotees, and from that criticism is what creates the wedge that eventually will spread and create a distance from association. And so
and praying to Lord Nityananda to help me understand, for all of us to understand, the necessity of giving up a critical attitude towards devotees. Prabhupada sometimes criticized his godbrothers on our behalf, not because it was proper to do, but because it was necessary for the position that we were in at that time. But for us to criticize our godbrothers, we're not really in that position, nor will we ever be. And we don't need to protect neophytes as we were at that time. So, I don't know, I just felt a need to, that this is something I'm struggling with in my own consciousness from day to day, but, and again, due to Lord Nityananda's mercy, I do see some help. But the necessity is such an important thing, because our nature is so inclined to. Because when we criticize others, it takes attention off ourselves, and we don't have to be introspective then. We don't have to see all the flaws within our own hearts. So it's real important, because it's such an insidious, dangerous trick of Maya to find anything critical about devotees. And that is that fault that will separate us.
Being with my god sisters, my very dear friends, god sisters, has reminded me of so many times that we saw Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles and got to serve together. I'm remembering getting the telegrams that he was coming, preparing his room, and then he was there and meeting him outside the door when he came out for morning walk, and doing his vases for his room and getting water for his deities and cleaning his altar, and so many nice things we got to do, so much mercy. And the time I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance day, when Prabhupada offered artik at Bhaktisiddhanta's painting, and then got on the Vyasasan and spoke to us, and he was saying how he said, "I would like to thank you all. You are actually the representatives of my Guru Maharaj." Everybody remember that? Tears just shot out of his eyes like this, not down, but just shot out. And I remember looking at Srikta Kirti Prabhu, who was his servant, sitting right at the steps of the Vyasasan, thinking that he must have just gotten wet by his tears. And then all of a sudden the tears just stopped, and Prabhupada got up and he paid his obeisances to Rukmini Dwarkadish and left. It was in the old temple room. We left the side door, and we all just sat there totally stunned. I mean, it was just, I don't remember how many minutes, everyone, just 150 devotees at the time, sat there with our mouths open, and we knew we had just experienced something that was not of this world. And then gradually, one by one, we just stood up and walked outside, and then we just stood on the lawn and no one said anything. And those were the moments that Srila Prabhupada gave us so much mercy, and the mercy continues. He's still hearing our prayers. He's still smiling upon us when we do something right. He's still picking us up when we stumble and fall. He's still here for his disciples and his grand disciples. When I'm with the devotees and my god brothers and god sisters, it reminds me of this time. And I really can't believe that it's been 25 years since his disappearance. I don't know how we've done it this long, and I wonder how long we can keep going on in this life without his personal presence. But it makes it easier, and it makes the separation more bearable to be with the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, because to glorify the devotees, to be with the devotees, is the same as glorifying Prabhupada. His mercy is all that we're made of. Thank you.
I remember the first Kartik, I observed, was in the Boston Temple in 1969. And the devotees said we were observing Urjavrata, and that we celebrated by offering candles on the altar. And I believe we were told to make a wish when we but I remember it was so sweet. I mean, everything then was sweet, but you know, we just had little Radha Krishna deities, brass deities, and there were just a few devotees in the temple. And we hadn't had the proper altar constructed yet. So, you know, the arrangement was very simple. It was very sweet. I don't even remember us having Damodar Astakam then. We just chanted Hare Krishna and offered the candles. I mean, after hearing the devotees speak, especially Mother Sangeeta at the end, I think we were in the same condition of being stunned as the devotees were. I'm sure the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. Disappearance day.
Disappearance day.
Disappearance day. And certainly Srila Prabhupada manifests himself more when his sincere followers and servants come together to remember him and glorify him and serve him. And he's always present, but we can experience his presence more in the association of his devotees, especially, you know, when they come together in the mood to hear and chant about Krishna and remember him and glorify him. I remember the first time I approached him. I mean, the first time I heard him speak, I asked a question, and then every night I would usually ask a question. But the first time I actually approached him, independent of the class, was at Boston College. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada, well, as usual, there would be kirtan, then Srila Prabhupada would speak and answer questions. And I really loved the questions and answers, because Srila Prabhupada could understand the psychology of the questioner and answer just according to the mentality of the questioner. And often people would ask similar questions at different programs, but Srila Prabhupada would answer differently. Like at the time, so many people used to ask, you know, why is there so much poverty in India? Why are people starving in India? and Prabhupada would answer differently. I was just fascinated by the way he listened to the questions and understood the mentality of the questioner and then replied. Then after the questions and answers at Boston College, we had the last kirtan. And as usual, then we would dance in a circle. And I remember just being flooded with feelings of love for all the people in the room. I mean, I would dance in the circle behind the devotee in front of me, and, you know, but when I would look at the people in the room, at the students, and maybe some of the faculty, if there were any there, I was just like overwhelmed with feelings of love for these people. And then somehow the sense of love expanded, like, to all living entities in the whole universe. And I never had any such experience before. So after the kirtan ended, I approached Srila Prabhupada. He was sitting on some raised platform. I remember, even though he was sitting, he was like quite elevated. And I sort of came near him, and like as I got closer, I felt his energy. And, you know, I said, you know, that something like, you know, this chanting is really wonderful. That's all I said. And Srila Prabhupada looked at me and, like, you know, his eyes opened up and he just smiled. It was really like an ocean, the way he smiled. It was huge. It just, like, filled the whole room. And he looked at me with so much love and kindness and he said, "Thank you very much." That was all he said, but it was like such a deep experience that I will never forget in my life. And I mean, when devotees hear us speak, I mean, I'm sure when we heard our guests speak, we all thought, oh, that's why they're continuing in Krishna consciousness after so many years, because of Srila Prabhupada. Because they met him and he touched them. But relatively speaking, their devotees who never met Srila Prabhupada, who've been serving for almost as long as we have. And they've also gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, just like we have. And I can only conclude that the reason they're still endeavoring to practice Krishna consciousness is the same. You know, somehow they've been touched by Srila Prabhupada, and therefore no matter what experiences they've had with, you know, with the movement or just with life, they're continuing their efforts. And so they're also in touch with Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and therefore they're also continuing their efforts. But I agree with the devotees who spoke about the importance of association. Because I lived in temples for 30 years, and I had no experience of living outside of the temple. And the first few months, actually, I stayed in Orange County at Krishna Kirtan Prabhu and Kandarpa Manjari's place. And I thought, and I would like, I would chant for hours in front of their deities, and I would think, oh, this is it. You know, this is the life. Just chanting in front of the deities. And you know, I thought that was all I needed. But, you know, as time passed and it became a year, more than a year, then I started to realize how essential the association of devotees is, especially more advanced devotees. And I can say that it's really the association of such devotees that sustains me. I mean, you know, we chant and we serve and so on, but everything really comes to life when we're in the association of I would say advanced devotees, these sincere devotees, followers of Srila Prabhupada. And it's like, yeah, everything comes to life. Like everything is, else is a dream, and this is the reality. And again, the association of devotees is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.